Welcome to this podcast from Radio Horton, the station that's good for you. There are many organisations and people making a difference to health and well-being in our area. Join me, Julie Baker, as I put on the kettle and get to know them. Today I'm having a coffee with Patty Gorianoff, a qualified dog behaviourist who runs dog classes at the Mill in Deddington and also one-to-one training. Patty, you're always surrounded by dogs. I often see you in the village with really obedient dogs walking either side of you. How many have you got now?
Well, they're only obedient because they're on lead.
You okay. Should see them off lead.
Well, I have to say, usually I have three, but at the moment I have five. So I have a proper pack.
Five dogs?
Five dogs, and they get lots of attention. Five little wagging tails, they all look the same. And I get the normal comments, who's walking who, you've got your hands full, you know, the usual.
I've got to say, it does look like you're in control. They're always really, really well filing alongside you, looking very, very obedient.
We do little military drills at lunchtime.
Okay. So, how dare I say it, have you always been barking mad about dogs?
Well, you know what? When you have that many dogs that I have, you have to be barking mad. But they do. You do. Once you have a dog, you know, it's either your baby or, you know, your life changes. So you do take a different view in life, and you have to have a sense of humour. If you don't, they will certainly give you one anyway.
I can imagine. I mean, any examples of that?
Well, yes, loads. I remember once my dog, who was being an adolescent, and there was this pram parked and they were having a lovely picnic, and my dog decided that that was the only vertical bit where he could do a little bit of dog graffiti. So I was absolutely horrified, and I don't think I except for getting down to my hands and knees, I just apologized. And they have a great way of embarrassing you. And I always tell people, when you get a puppy or a dog, the first thing you learn is how to apologize.
So you've had a few naughty dogs come your way in your time.
I have. I had a Great Dane that used to just run up to everybody, and he used to love to get into cars. So whenever we were at the grocery store and somebody opened their boots, my Great Dane would often just jump under boot as we were walking. And, you know, they just kind of bought a little bit more than that they bargained for. But yeah, that was another bit of apologies going on there.
So how did you get into working with dogs? Because obviously you have dogs in your home and love them, and they're really in your life, aren't they? You work with dogs as well. How did that happen? How did that start?
So I think it was just a passion. We've always had animals from as long as I remember, cats, dogs, guinea pigs, rabbits. And for me, they give me a lot of happiness. And so I used to work in IT, it's totally different, in London. And I saw, it was a little bit tragic really, because I saw somebody going to the underground that just got run over. And it sadly, he passed. But it really hit me. I was only 26 or 27, and it hit me how fragile life was. So I started to think that really I have to make the most out of life. And after a few years doing my career, I decided actually really what I love is dogs. And so now my career is to do with dogs. And yes, I am barking mad because it's house full of dogs, friends with dogs, everything is dogs or pets or cats, anything. So I got there because I had a very naughty Great Dane. He was a rehome.
Thought it might come back to naughty.
Yes. Generally naughty is the key word in all these things. And at the time, it was a long time ago, they just didn't train him and they couldn't cope with him. 40 kilos of joyfulness. So I thought in my great wisdom that I wanted a big dog that I could get big hugs. But really, I got more than I bargained for. And all the advice that was out there was to get a rolled up newspaper and smack it. And I thought, well, intrinsically, that did not sit
that
well.
That was the advice at the time.
At the time, this was a long time ago. But it was all the dominance theories, all that you have to control, you know, and dominate your dog. And it just did not sit right. You know, why would you have a companion that you love and you care for? And they equally love you unconditionally, which is why they make such successful animals. So no, I didn't want it. So basically, I decided, well, if I can't find the answers out there, then I'm going to have to study about it. So I decided to change careers and study, go back to university and do animal behaviour. just to solve my dog's problem. A little bit extreme.
But so tell me about that study. How was that? What did you learn about? How long did it take?
So it was a normal 3-year degree, a bachelor's, and it was in zoology. So I was doing mainly conservation, but the beautiful thing about a zoology degree, and if you're interested in science or nature, it's a beautiful degree because it opens your eyes to everything, to bacteriology, to conservation, to ecology, to animal behavior. And really, it was animal behavior that I wanted. So that was 3 years. And then after that, I decided to do a master's and specialize in companion animal behavior and counseling, which is more like being a psychiatrist for our pets.
So it's about the animals' well-being. Obviously, you found well-being yourself through it, but that was actually about the animals' well-being then.
It is. It's a bit... Really, what I do is try to fix relationships. So, you know, what's acceptable for you and your pet might not be acceptable for somebody else. So they come to me when something is not right in that relationship. So actually, even though you think, oh, you're trying to solve the animal, I'd never solve the animal. What you do is you have a conversation about what is it that the animal is doing that's not fitting in with your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And obviously, my first job is to get the person to understand what that animal is. You know, if you have a parrot, that's what parrots do. If you have a cat, that's what cats do. If you have a dog, that's what dogs do. But what can we do so that our expectations are at the right level, and also, you know, how to train the animal or manage the environment so that you can live in harmony. So really, it's all about relationships between people and their animals.
And are different breeds of dogs, do you have to take that into account as well?
Yes. So where we live, we get a lot of gun dogs because, you know, if you're subjected to the most beautiful, you know, spaniel with those big spaniel eyes that just melt your heart and your friend's got one and you think, I must have one, and you get one and you realise that they're meant to be working for 6 hours a day, and suddenly this little thing is just running around your house.
Oh, yeah.
So yes, it's an expectation. So breeds make a big difference. And some people will research their breeds and look how that breed will fit into their lifestyle. And that's why dogs are so successful, because you will find a dog that will fit into your lifestyle. Even if you're not very active, there will be dogs that are necessarily not so active. If you're very active, you'll have that. If you want to go running with your dog, if you just want to have a social, or if you want a nice companion for your kids, or assistance dogs. Dogs do so much for us, and there will be a breed. We've got hundreds of breeds out there, and it's about researching. But unfortunately, humans, we are fickle, aren't we? And so if it looks cute, then we'll just have it. And then it keeps me in business, which is great news as well.
But you've got flat coats, haven't you?
I've got flat-coated retrievers, and yes, and I have them. They often see your dogs reflect your personality, and I find flat coats are very joyful. They're very puppy-like. They don't take many things seriously, and they just love to live life, and I kind of identify with that. I'm not too serious about things, and they stay puppies forever. So I thought
they don't look it. Whenever I see you with them, they look so well behaved.
So. Only because I had a word with them before we went on walk. Don't embarrass me in front of the neighbours.
But you work them, don't you, as well? And I remember saying to you once before that, you know, you feel that that breed has to be worked. And coming back to the point you were saying about how it's the right breed for the right person, and you've got to understand the dog to keep them happy. So you work them because they're intelligent and they have to be worked.
Yes, and some breeds, particularly the gun dog breeds that are very popular, they're bred to work. So they have high stamina, high energy levels, and they're highly intelligent. They want to learn, they want to do. So you think they make the best pet, but they make the best pet because they have such nice temperaments.
Yeah.
But if you can meet their needs, I always tell people, if you don't keep your dog employed, it will become self-employed.
Oh.
And a predator, which is what they are, you know, self-employment for a predator is chasing rabbits and cats and doing all sorts of things and, you know, scavenging and generally having a good time. So you have to keep them occupied and sort of kind of divert that energy. So, you know, one of the best things people can do is really research, get a dog that matches their lifestyle and their energy levels, because otherwise it's not good for the dog. It's not good for you. It's not good for anybody. But so, yes, my dogs are very high energy and I do work them. And I have to say, me and, you know, and them are both at our happiest when
so
we're
out. So
that's
the message then. It's happy dog, happy owner, and a well-trained dog is a happy dog and a happy owner. So that's where the success comes with all of the well-being, both for the animal and also for the owner.
It is, because if you've got a harmonious relationship, then you're going to get all the benefits that dogs give you. Or if you don't, or your expectations are wrong, or you thought, oh, it would be like that, but actually it's not, then it's actually quite heartbreaking for both of you.
Yeah.
A lot of people are just, they understand once I go there and I explain what's happening and why the dog is doing it, rather than just blaming the dog, they understand. And then we have strategies on how to direct that dogginess onto something appropriate. You know, for example, if they're digging your beautiful garden, you know, you can maybe get a sand pit where they can dig.
Oh, right.
So you don't stop a dog being a dog, because you can't, but you direct that dogginess onto something. So that's why working gun dogs are great at doing gun dog work, because you get them to retrieve a ball rather than go and retrieve a pheasant, you know, so which would be inappropriate. So it's more about understanding what do you have in your hands and what can you do. So, but training is, dogs love to learn, and that's why they're so successful. They're highly, highly trainable, and so that we can often get them to do most of the things. So as long as you meet their basic needs, you know, giving them a good walk or to whatever level they need, a good diet, a nice warm bed, and companionship. They are not something that is to be left at home or on their own. Dogs are companions and they're pack animals. So you know, these are common mistakes people make, just because, you know, a lot of media, the Andrix puppy, all of that. So they, oh, how cute. You know, they give you these beautiful images of what having a dog is, which is true once you go through the training.
But the elements have got to be right. But presumably, once the dog is happy, that companionship comes to the owner as well. Do you have lots of wonderful insights into how happy they make people?
Yes, so there's been loads of studies, loads of research on the happiness that dogs give us. And there's loads of reasons why people are actually healthier, both mentally and physically, when they own a pet. It doesn't need to be a dog. It could be a cat. It could be a hamster, anything. So a really interesting, I love science. So one of the really interesting things is that when it's been proven in many studies that when you talk to your dog or look at your dog or pet your dog or sit on the sofa and have cuddles, you release the what we call the love hormone, which is called oxytocin. And that is the same hormone that a mother and a child releases when they're bonding.
Yeah.
It's the social hormone, and it's all about social interactions, about relationships. And so that happens between people, and that happens between, interestingly enough, between humans and dogs. So not only does the human release oxytocin, but actually it's been proven that the dog also releases oxytocin. So it's like a feedback loop. Now the studies do show that obviously the dog has to have some form of bond and wants to be petted. Obviously if you pet a dog that doesn't want to be petted, it's not going to release that. But the interesting thing about oxytocin, that either whether we want to or not, it is a true fact that they are healthier for us, because this oxytocin helps to decrease cortisol levels, which is the stress hormone, which is quite detrimental to your health. So it can reduce high blood pressure, cholesterol, sort of, you can make you much more relaxed, which generally is great mental health. The other benefit, that's on the science side of things, but obviously the other benefits is physical.
Yes.
You've got to walk your dog.
Yes, it's a very fit, it's a very healthy way of life, isn't it?
It is.
You've got to take a dog out. Do you do, I think you do a walking group, don't you, as well? So presumably those people are getting the benefits of walks, the benefits of happier pets, and the but companionship from other dog owners as well.
Absolutely. We have a lovely little group, and one of the ladies says, she says, oh, it's her therapy. And we always laugh because, to be honest, it's all our therapy, because you're out there and you already have something in common. You're talking about your dogs. Even if you have nothing to talk about, your dogs will make you talk about them because they'll get up to something.
Yes.
And you'll all laugh because you're all in the same boat. So suddenly you will make conversation. And even if you don't have a dog, if you go on a walk or if you're in town, people will stop you and talk to you.
Oh, absolutely. I've my sister has a dog, and a very different dog to yours, I have to say. She's more of a sort of a dog that people look at and admire in her pink coat. But people just come up and say, oh, isn't she sweet? And it's just lovely. It's very friendly.
And it often, again, I was talking about your mental health. I also do, I'm going back to not just physical health, because obviously you got to go out there, rain or shine or snow, you are out there with the dog. And obviously not sunshine, they should be inside when the sun is too hot. But obviously then you're getting your steps in, aren't you?
You are. I mean, I always think that whenever I've seen you walking down the road, I'm thinking, oh, I might go out in a minute and have a walk. But if you don't have to do it, you often don't, do you?
No, you don't. And suddenly a walk becomes really interesting, because even if you go on the same footpath, well, they'll find something, and it'll always be something different, or it'll be somebody else around the corner, or you'll talk to someone. So you'll get your steps in, but of course you get it sunshine. So getting out there, even in winter, you'll get the light. You get physically fit, you know, even if they say one of the best forms of exercise is just walking.
Absolutely. And it's you don't have to pay for to do it and so on. But
there's no impact. Keeps everything moving.
So your whole life is dogs, really, isn't it? I mean, you know, there's so many elements of your working life that bring dogs in. What do you love the most, do you think? Could you nail it down to any one thing?
Yes, I think 100% companionship. I think most dog owners will tell you is that unconditional love. They are so forgiving, and we do make mistakes, but they're always there. There's no judgment, there's no sort of negative in any sense. They're just very forgiving. So coming home and just having a cuddle on the sofa watching TV, strictly at the moment, but you know, all sorts of different things are going on. just watching TV with your dog cuddling up to you, you just never feel like you're on your own. So I would say all the other benefits of the social side I really like, the mental benefit, the physical benefit, but to me it's just coming home and just, you know, having someone there, and you never feel lonely with a dog or a cat or a rabbit. It doesn't have to be a dog. All of these things I mentioned, you know, having your now routine, having to get up, having to feed the animal, having to sort the animal out, gives you purpose. So sometimes when people are retired or the kids have left home or something, sometimes people can lose a bit of purpose.
Yes.
So just having, or just a fish. The same thing, you know, you might not get the oxytocin by having a fish tank, but you do. It's again, it's proven that that's why they had them in the old days in a dentist. It's actually watching and hearing the water is intrinsically relaxing.
And they're a living thing.
Yeah.
And maybe having something that's bigger than yourself, if you like, that isn't just about yourself, is also helpful for people.
Great for kids as well. It teaches them empathy.
Yeah.
And it teaches them, you know, they have to have responsibility and they have to care for somebody else. So suddenly they have to be a little bit grown up because they're being looked after. And kids do like that. They like to be in control. They like to have responsibility. So again, as families, it's good as well.
Yes. So what advice would you give to somebody who's thinking about getting perhaps a pet, but certainly a dog? What advice would you give?
I would say definitely look at what you want out of that dog. Don't, you know, obviously you have to like the look of them, but just see what you can offer. See how much time do you have left? What sort of lifestyle do you have?
Yeah.
And what sort of energy? It's all about that energy and how demanding. My dogs are very demanding because they're working dogs, but that's okay because I like to do it. But if I were very busy, then I would need a much lower energy, or rescues. Rescues are great to give a dog a second chance. And a lot of these rescues are older and they don't want an active life. They don't want to be running 10 miles a day. They just want companionship. And that is the beautiful thing about dogs. There will always be a dog out there for your for your lifestyle. So don't look at what looks cute or what you, or my neighbor has this lovely dog, I'll have one of those. Look at yourself and what you can offer to that animal to make it happy. And obviously, if you can make that dog happy, or that animal, cat, rabbit, whatever, they will make you happy. And you're looking for harmony, really.
Yes. If you did have a rescue animal, a rescue dog, and they had behavioural difficulties, how easy is that to work with an animal that's perhaps been through a lot?
I think it depends a lot. I mean, a lot of these charities are fantastic. They have behaviourists on site. They offer you a lot of support. They do assessments. They'll have them in foster homes. They'll do a lot of the preliminary basic obedience, so that at least it depends. Some behavioural problems, there's so many hundreds. But I think if you go with your eyes open, then that dog is always going to give you that companionship and, you know, unconditional love, whatever. But it's whether you're willing. And some people love to rehabilitate an animal. And I do often find that the animals that are rehabilitated, the bond is so much stronger.
Really?
Yeah, because they know the not so pleasant side of life. And so then when they are in a lovely home with, you know, cuddles and warmth and walks and good food, they really appreciate it because they've been deprived of it. And it's the, in a way, because we as humans like to help intrinsically. We like to help.
I think that's true, yeah.
It makes them feel good, but it also makes us feel good. Mm. So actually helping an animal that is forever grateful, and they really are, it's great. It does make you feel good. So, and giving another animal a second chance, it's just great. It's wonderful. Yeah. So, yeah, and there's loads of, unfortunately, with lockdown and everything, there's loads of dogs out there that perhaps, you know, had to go into be rehomed because...
Mm, yeah. They had you're not going to get any less busy with... I mean, obviously, you've got your own dogs and that keeps you busy, but in terms of your dog training and all the other things, it sounds like you're going to be busy for many years to come.
Yes, I think so. I think, thankfully, even with AI, you know, hopefully everybody will still want that personal touch, that proper assessment and that social aspect. So I hope to be busy for a long time. And I do, I personally think I do have the best job in the world, because what is there not to like about puppies?
Doing something that's your passion.
Yeah.
I mean, people say, don't they, that if you do something you love, you don't do a day's work in your life.
Absolutely.
When you cast your mind back to when you were in the city and that moment when you wanted to make that change, I guess you have no regrets?
No regrets. It felt quite informal because I was in finance. It felt very detached and it felt, what's the point of this? When you have relationships with dogs and peoples and everything, it's very personal. So if you're that way inclined that you like to help people and dogs and it's super rewarding, then no, not, you know, I could do with a better pay, but aside from that... You know, I have lots of, I'm very rich inside emotionally. So no, I'm doing my dream job.
Well, thank you so much, Patty. It's been lovely talking to you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.